You ready to get focused on God's word today? Let's do it. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We are on week 2 of a series that we're calling Eclipsed by the Sun. Eclipsed by the Sun. Now, last week we also read out of John chapter 3. And I told you to read out of John chapter 3. I read out of John chapter 3. And nobody pointed out that it said Luke chapter 3 on the slides. Anybody see that? That's a good thing. I found it today. I was just making sure, what did I say last week, so I don't say the same thing. And it said Luke chapter 3. So luckily we weren't getting into the wrong spot. Now, as you're turning to John chapter 3, when you came in today, you should have received a bulletin. Inside your bulletin is a half sheet of notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's fill in the blanks. There's also scripture references. All the answers, all the scriptures will be up on the screen for you to follow along today. So we're in the middle of this series called Eclipsed by the Sun. And what we're looking at is we're looking at John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been given a mission. He's supposed to be declaring and preparing the way for Jesus. He's telling people to turn from their sins. He's telling them to repent before God, get their hearts right. And he's baptizing them to show them that, to show others that their lives are being changed. And we pick up right here in John chapter 3 where John's ministry is being eclipsed by Jesus' ministry. Let's read, starting in verse 22. Then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time with them there, baptizing people. My pages are sticking together. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Annon, near Salim, because there was plenty of water there, and people kept coming to him for baptism. This was before John was thrown into prison. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansings. So John's disciples came to him and said, "Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people, and everybody is going to him instead of coming to us." Let's pray. God, I pray that you would be with us in the next few moments, that you would challenge both our hearts and our minds to what you want to say to each of us today. Help us to not leave here today the same as when we came in. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. How many of you saw the eclipse this week? Live? On TV? Now, I didn't get one of those eclipse glasses, so I made sure my kids saw it on the computer. And I'm like, kids, gather around. We're going to look at the eclipse. And we got to see the Oregon eclipse. And it was probably the prettiest one that you could see everything. And my littlest son, he's like, "Dad, take pictures. Put me in the picture." And I'm like, this is just on the computer screen. It was kind of funny. He just wanted me to take pictures of the computer screen. Anybody look directly at the sun like they weren't supposed to? A few people, to see if it's really true, if you burned your eyes. Now, this was the Great American Eclipse, and this was the hot news story of the week where they did coverage to cover everything, and it's probably all hands on deck. Every newscaster was probably required on Monday that you have to cover the news of the eclipse. And there was probably some people who didn't really care about the eclipse, but they were required to be there, so they decided that they would let people know. And we found footage of this one guy who obviously didn't care anything about the eclipse. His name is Shep Smith with Fox News. And let's take a look at what he had to say about the eclipse as the day went on.
Total Eclipse of the Sun Watch 2017 on Fox News Channel. The excitement must be building and building like fireworks. If I put this here and my phone here, I have a total eclipse of the phone. Fascinating. It's amazing. Oh, my God. The moon has gotten in front of this. Okay, well, I don't know. It's interesting looking. The sun looks a little like the moon up there in my wall. If you mention it, you got to sing it. Where the deer and the antelope play. Wow. Would you look at that? It's a total eclipse of the sun.
And you look up at
they know this is all it's going to be, right? Now. Just a moon over a sun. Oh, the sun's coming back
now.
The
cameras are coming out.
Oh, my goodness. That didn't last long. Yoo-hoo! I want to hear more. No, because now you can look at the thing. It's covered, so you can look at it. Oh, my God. The sun is returning. Jalapeno. How was it? Response. Weird. Dark. Cold. Another dark. Amazing. I love nature. Amazing. I'm going to die now. And we hope that doesn't happen. Want to see a total eclipse of this monitor? It's totally eclipsed. We're having a good time, too. And there's some people who think we should take this a little more seriously on the Twitter. Because for us, this is just a lot of fun. We've been watching the path of totality, so you can catch a DC on screen if you run. Do you know that it goes like old NASA stuff from the 70s whenever you move around? It's because of the sun. And then over on MSNBC, it's just sort of dark and vacant. They're not going to have a, what is it? Not a total eclipse of the sun down. The sun is 400 times larger than the moon, but the sun is 400 times farther away from us than the moon, which works together nicely. So here it's a little darker than usual, but it's not like dark. According to one legend from ancient China, people were scared that a dragon might eat the sun, which it's always something to consider. How was it? Was it everything?
Yeah. Oh, that's probably one of my favorite things. My friend sent me a picture that said, if you want to figure out what to call it, if the moon is between the sun and the earth, that's a solar eclipse. And if the earth is between the sun and the earth, then it's a lunar eclipse. And if the sun is between the moon and the earth, that's the apocalypse. Oh, fun. Oh, John the Baptist, he was baptizing. Jesus was baptizing. And what was happening was Jesus' ministry of baptism was eclipsing John's ministry of baptism. See, more people were going to Jesus than they were going to John, and John's guys wanted to stood up for him. This is what we talked about last week. And they said, in verse 26, they said, everybody's going to him instead of coming to us. But John's response was that he was okay with it. He was okay with being in the shadow of Jesus. He was okay with being eclipsed by the sun. And he said this in verse 30 of John chapter 3, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. But why were they baptizing people? In order to understand what was even going on here, why there was even a comparison, we've got to look to see what John's mission was on this planet. We've got to go back to the beginning, his purpose and his mission. And we find that by looking at John chapter 1, and it says this, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. And John described it himself as he was trying to explain to people that he was preaching to. He would say this when it came to baptizing with water. He said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon, who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave or to even carry his sandals. You see, why were they baptizing? Because people were getting their hearts right with God. People were hearing both what John was saying and Jesus. They were believing. They were repenting of their sins. They were showing their repentance by being baptized in water. It was public. No turning back. Everyone who watched knew what had just happened in their lives. I was surprised yesterday to open up our freezer to discover a huge yellow box was in our freezer. You see, that box was from Costco, and it was a huge jumbo pack of Eggo waffles. I love Eggo waffles. And so I immediately thought, that's what I'm eating for lunch. And so I began pulling out my waffles, and my daughter is there with me. She's like, Dad, you like waffles? And I'm like, yes, I love waffles. It's just been a long time. And I got to describe to her how I make a waffle, because it's a very specific process I do with it, because it's just not just this frozen disc. I got to do it just right. I mean, you put the toaster all the way to the max because it's got to be a little crispy. And then when you pull it out, you got to take the butter right away, and you got to put the butter on really fast and make sure you cover every single hole. And if you wait a second, then the butter starts melting those holes and creates little pools of the delicious melted butter. And then you take syrup, and you go in a circular pattern around the waffle, and you fill up every single little hole just slightly. Oh, and it's awesome. And my daughter is looking at this, and she's like, "Dad, this looks amazing. Why is it so good?" I said, "Because it's totally covered. It's totally covered. Every bite is the same. It's going to be great, and I love it." And she's like, "But Dad, you cooked it so long." I said, "Darling, you've already told me the answer to this question you're about to ask. You're asking, why do I cook it so long? You learned it in fourth grade last year when you were learning geography. North, south, east, west. How do you tell which one is which?" She taught me last year, never eat soggy waffles. That's why your waffle has to be crispy. It was just cool to be a hero for my daughter yesterday. All because I completely covered a waffle. The bar is low. Why do we baptize people? Why do we baptize people? Because Jesus told us to do it. He said as a part of his great commission in Matthew 28:11, he said, "Go, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." You see, after we make a decision to put Jesus in charge of our life, we should get baptized as the next thing that we do. This wasn't a suggestion from Jesus. It's part of his great commission. But he wasn't just demanding that, "Hey, you've got to do this." He actually modeled it himself. You see, we hear the story. We find out the story in Matthew chapter 3 about Jesus getting baptized. In verse 13, it says, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. 'I am the one who needs to be baptized by you,' he said. 'So why are you coming to me?' But Jesus said, 'It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires.' So John agreed to baptize him." Jesus understood leadership, and he was leading us by setting an example. When I teach kids about baptism, I have a history of 20 years of working with kids before I got to be your lead pastor. And it's one of my favorite subjects to talk about because I talk about it in kind of in steps and say, hey, baptism's not the most important thing, but it is an important part of what's already happened. You see, the most important thing that you can do is you make a decision to follow Jesus. You make a decision to say, "I'm sorry." You make a decision to say, "I'm going to live with God in charge of my life." And it's at that moment when you say, "I believe." When it's at that moment when you say, "I'm sorry." It's at that moment that you say, "Please be in charge of my life," that everything changes. But that is a decision that you make yourself. Nobody can make it for you. Nobody can force you into it. You decide how you want to live your life. That's how God designed us, is free will. But we all can't tell that that happened to each other. You know, I look on eBay all the time looking for those goggles that looks to see, is Jesus inside? Are they really a follower of God? And, you know, those goggles don't exist. So there's got to be a way to let other people know, and it's this. What God has put together saying being baptized in water shows what's already happened in your heart. You believe, you're baptized. Step one, step two. Why do we get baptized? Because baptism is a symbol that people have turned their life over to God. Now, personally, I like graphic design. I like branding. I like studying about it, and I'm really enamored by it. And one of the things that's always stood out to me is that if you were designing, let's say you're coming up with a new company name, that you got to come up with a logo. And when you come up with your logo, it can't just be the words of what your name is, but you want to come up with some sort of icon. You know what I'm talking about. You know about icons associated with brands that if you were to look at an icon, sometimes you can tell what the brand is before you even see what the name is. I mean, if you saw a swoosh, there we go. If you saw a U and a U that actually becomes an A, Under Armour. If you saw a big old yellow M, McDonald's. And as I read about icons and logos and graphic design, the thing that stood out to me was the ultimate success of graphic design and creating a logo is if you can separate the logo from the icon and people can just recognize the icon. That's success. Because you can say, I see that and I know what it stands for. And that's what's happening here. When someone gets baptized, you see it and you know what it stands for. It's not just talk anymore. It's not just that person who's just saying, hey, I made a decision. I'm starting to follow God here. But they're saying, you know what? Here is a definite point. I'm going to create a picture. I'm going to take part in a special ceremony that shows everybody who's watching change has happened on the inside. Being baptized shows everyone that our new life is eclipsing our old one. You see, we're creating kind of a picture. When we baptize somebody, there's first the requirements. First, not just anyone can get baptized. It's somebody who's already made that decision to say, I'm putting God as in charge of my life. But when it's time for water baptism, which we'll have in just a few moments, we're going to take people who have made a decision and we're going to ask, do you love Jesus and have you made him in charge of your life? And then we're going to baptize him as Jesus commanded it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to actually dip them underneath water, just like Jesus did, and bring them up. Now, I like to say to people that I'm going to baptize that the most important part of that is that you do come up. We have a young man who's going to get baptized today that his grandpa volunteered to baptize him, at which he said, no way, because he'll keep me under the water. But in that picture, it's saying that the old me, the me that was without hope, the me that was without purpose, the me that was hurting, the me that was without God, it's like it's been laid to rest. It's being buried in the ground, buried underneath the water. And what you see coming out of the water, it's the new me. It's the new version of me. And that new me eclipses the old me. You can't even see the old me because the new me is in front. Welcome to the new me. That's why this message is called Life 2.0, the second part of life, life with Jesus. When they had the eclipse going on, the biggest thing about the eclipse was they had determined the path of totality. Never heard that phrase before, but I got educated in a great way. And it was the path of which you could see the full eclipse, that it was going to create the dark shadow across North America, for all the way from Oregon to South Carolina, all the way down, the path of totality. And if you were in that path, you got to see the eclipse. And if you were not in that path, then you just saw a part of it. And like for us up here, we got to see clouds with something bright behind them. We didn't get to see the totality. But speaking of totality, Riley came to me later on yesterday afternoon, and she's like, Dad, look, I made waffles just like you. And every hole was smothered in syrup. She's like, Dad, it's totally covered. And when we get baptized and we make a life with Jesus, the new me totally covers the old me. The old me is like it doesn't even exist anymore. It's welcome, meet the new me. The old me we leave down in the water. See, why do we baptize? It's because we are now living our life version 2.0, which is a life following Jesus. And we find out what it means when we look at Romans chapter 6. And let's just read just a portion of Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 and 4. And it says, when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. New lives. That's life 2.0. Now, I can't talk about being laid to rest or dying to our old self or anything without making a comment about my accent. And my accent's kind of a weird one because I've lived all over the place. My mom's from the north. I've lived in the south. I've lived in Texas and all over every corner of America I've lived. And I pick up certain words that have to be said a certain way. And if you didn't catch it, I said that we were buried in the ground. If you hear my wife talk about it, she'd say, no, we're buried in the ground. And I say, no, we're not straw buried in the ground. We are buried. It's you are, not ER. So I like to have fun with that all the time. We have an ongoing argument about that, if it's buried or buried. We all know I'm right. But when you make a decision about anything, say you're going to change something about your life. That's a decision you usually make in your head. Say for me, I made a decision about a month ago that, you know what, I'm tired of being overweight. I'm a little heavy for my frame, and I need to lose some weight. And so I made a decision to say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to listen to the words we have on the front door of our church. Do something. So I'm like, okay, I made a decision. So I began doing something. I began riding my bicycle, and I've been learning all the bike trails around Sun Prairie, and I've discovered something about the bike trails in Sun Prairie. Why don't they connect? It's like somebody had this great idea, and everyone just ran off and said, I'll do it over here, I'll do it over here, and no one thought to connect them all. It's kind of fun. There's times I got lost. Times I almost got run over. But I began riding my bike every single day, and I tried and tried, and then I had to leave to go out of state, and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to ride my bicycle. But little did I know that we would be walking so much, and we were walking 6 to 10 miles a day, and I'm like, this is good. Maybe I need to change my goal from being like biking every day to physical activity every day, and that's how I'll do something. And that trip wore me out because I had ridden all those miles right before it. Then I walked for a week and a half straight. We're talking over 100 miles in this time period to where I got back to Sun Prairie, and I'm like, I'm taking a break. You know what? That was too hard. You know, I'm just going to take a day off. And then the day off became 2 days off. And then the day off became 3 days off. You know how the story goes, right? Yeah? And then ended up being 5 days off. And why was I able to take 5 days off? Because I was just trying to work on my own willpower, my own strength, my own ability to keep myself motivated to go. Because, you know, our own ability, our own strength only goes so far. So how am I going to continue with my goal? I can't think of anything better or anything more scary than to announce publicly that, hey, I'm trying to do an activity every single day, and I hope on the long run I'm going to be a smaller version of Pastor Ryan. And you'll be able to see on a weekly basis if I'm actually doing it. And there's a few things that kick into this. As soon as I say this to you and say, hey, this is what I'm trying to do, this is my goal, I've just given you permission to hold me accountable. I've just given you permission to encourage me, to say, hey, keep up the good work, Pastor Ryan. Are you doing it? You know, I've given you permission to say, hey, did you work out yesterday? What'd you do? Or, hey, can I do something with you? Or, I've just given you permission. And you know what? That starts creating the support network I need to accomplish the goal that I set out to do. It all started with doing something, but that extra layer of saying to all of you publicly is going to make the difference. And I believe God knows that's how we're wired. You see, making a decision to make Jesus in charge of our lives. You know, it's a decision we make in our heart. It's one we make in our head. We decide, but if we don't share it with anyone else, you know, most times, you know, we've been keeping track of people who've been raising their hands and saying, yes, Pastor, I'm making a decision today, either for the first time or I'm deciding over that I've kind of gone astray, but today I am rededicating my life to Jesus starting today, that this is a new day one. And so we keep track of the hands raised, and we get hands raised, but you know what we hardly get? The cards. We have a red card there to let us know. You know why we would ask for the red card? Is so that we could help you, so that we can connect with you, so we can help you grow, so we can become that network with you. But you see, that's not really how God designed it. God designed it that you first believe, step one, and step two is you get baptized. So there are people here today who are going to get baptized that they're saying, you know what, I already made a decision. I already have God in charge of my life. I'm going to live each day for him. You know what? I'm going to do my best to follow him. I'm going to love him. But they're going the extra step and saying, this is public. I want all of you guys to know. I want all of you guys to know what's already happened on the inside. And I want to give you permission to hold me accountable, to help me, to encourage me, to show me, to teach me, to do life with me. And that's how we're molded and melded together as a family. This is God's design. So it's a big deal when someone says, I want to get baptized. It's a big deal because they're to the point in their decision to say, you know what? I want you all to know I've got Jesus inside. My favorite word to describe baptism is like an advertisement. You're marketing. You're saying, hey, hold me accountable. Hey, be my family. Love me. Help me. Let's do life together. Teach me. Max Lucado says this, that baptism separates the tire kickers from the car buyers. You see, you may have been on the fence and say, you know, I'm thinking about this God thing and I like what I hear, but I just don't understand enough. Just trying this church thing out. That Focus Church is way different than any church I've been to. Kind of like it. Not sure if that's a sin or not that I like my church. Didn't know church could be fun and funny. Didn't know I could like the pastor. But this is a real deal. And the requirement isn't that you learn everything first. The requirement isn't that you understand how it all works first. The requirement is simply this: believe. It's not belief if you already have all the answers. Belief requires faith. Faith means there's an element of an unknown here. And you could be sitting here today and you're like, wow, I've never heard somebody explain it like that, Pastor. I haven't had anyone make it so easy to understand. You see, that's our goal here at Focus Church. We want to help people find focus in their lives, to not wander aimlessly wondering what's the meaning of life, what's the purpose of life, but there is a meaning and there is a purpose. You were designed to be in relationship with God. How do we know that? Because of what it says simply in John 3:16. God loved you so much that he made a plan. He put a plan into action the plan that involves sending his son, his first son, his only son. And he didn't send him to just come preach a few sermons. He didn't send him to just come heal some people. He didn't send him to come be some prophet. He sent him with a purpose. And it was to pay the price for your sin, to pay the price for everything that you have ever done and will ever do. He paid the price so that you could be a part of his family. You see, when we accept Jesus, God no longer sees us with our sinful nature. We are eclipsed by the Son, and God sees Jesus. And he says, wow, there's my Son. And Jesus is standing there right in front of you, covering every wrong thing, every bad thing, everything, every sinful nature of you. And he's like, hey, I got this guy. He's mine. I got this girl. She's mine. Dad, they're supposed to be part of the family. See, this whole thing is that we are eclipsed by the Son. And so, as we close today, in just a few moments, there's some people who have been signed up to get baptized. And the benefit of signing up to get baptized is you get to talk with one of our pastors, and you also get told what to bring, like a change of clothes and a towel. And those people in just a moment are going to be coming up here as part of our worship service at the end. And we're going to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But you may have come today and you're like, wow, I think today's the day that I need to go public, that I need some help with this. I've already made a decision, but I need to let people know the decision I've made. And that's the cool thing about how we do baptisms here at Focus Church, is that even if you didn't come prepared to get baptized, we're making a way that you could get baptized today too. You see, in just a few moments, we're going to have one of our staff pastors, Pastor Hope, she's going to be sitting on the front row here. And as we're singing, if you want to get baptized, you can just come up here and just talk with her just for a brief moment. She's just going to talk with you. And then you'll be right up in line with everybody else. And you can get baptized as well. And baptism is a celebration. It's like our favorite thing to do, because you know what? People making a decision and making it public is proof that God exists. It's proof that this whole thing is real, that he's changing hearts and lives today, that this is not a story from thousands of years ago, but it's real today. And lives are being changed. And there are people in here. Your life is being changed. You are growing. You are learning. You are a part of the family. And I think today is the day that you're supposed to go public. And so we're creating the opportunity that you can do that. But it all begins with a decision that I'd like everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes right now, because this is a time, this is the most important decision that you could ever make. And that's the decision to say, hey, God, I'm sorry. God, I believe. God, I want you in charge of my life. It all starts here. So as you're sitting there with your eyes closed, head bowed, no one's looking around. No one's thinking anything about you, actually. More than likely, the person next to you is praying for you right now. You see, we exist to help people find Jesus. And now's the moment. Will you decide? Will you say, you know what, today's the day I'm going to decide. And if that's you, I want you to let me know by raising your hand right now. No one's looking around. You're just letting me know. Pastor Ryan, today's the day I need God in charge of my life. I may have known him before, but I've been messing around. I may have never known about this, but Pastor Ryan, I want to make a decision today. And I see hands in this room right now, and it's awesome. Today is your day to decide. I'm stopping playing around. I'm stopping messing around with this God thing. And the Bible describes it's simple to make this decision. It's a simple prayer. And I'd like to invite you to pray, repeating after me, and we're all going to pray together because at Focus Church, no one prays alone. So would you say, "Dear God, I'm sorry. I want you in charge of my life. I want a new life in you. I want today to be the first day of following you. I believe you sent your son to pay the price for me. I want to be a part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen."